Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Personality Speaking. My name is Karen Ward, also known as Ask Karen. I'm a certified personality trainer and speaker, upcoming author, and radio show host. Personality Speaking is designed to help you reconcile your relationships one personality at a time. We will explore personality-related issues and topics with our various guests. However, tonight is a special Ask Karen edition of Personality Speaking. Tonight, I will answer your questions and entertain your comments regarding personalities and relationships. I will open up the phone lines and take your calls all throughout the show tonight. You can call into the show by dialing 929-477-1876. Again, that number is 929-477-1876. Press 1 if you have a question or you'd like to make a comment. Someone will answer the call and screen the call for your name, the area that you're calling from, and whether you have a comment or a question. If you don't want to give your name, just tell them you want to remain anonymous. If you also want to send your question into us, you can do that by logging on to blog, B-L-O-G, talk, T-A-L-K, radio.com/personality speaking, and you can leave your comments in the chat room. You can also send me an anonymous email if you don't want me to mention your name or anything about you. You can send that email to Karen, K-A-R-E-N, Ward, W-A-R-D, at beyond, B-E-Y-O-N-D, to T-W-O-L-L-C.com. And that is Karen Ward at beyond2.com. Started with the show, I'd like to tell you a bit about the personalities, especially if you're dialing in for the first time or listening in for the first time to Personality Speaking. I want you to understand the personalities a little bit. So I'm going to do an overview of the personalities. There are 4 personality styles. You have 2 extroverted personality styles, which means you get your energy from other people. And you have 2 introverted personality styles, which means you get your energy from within. The extroverted personality styles are the popular sanguine and the powerful choleric. The popular sanguine is just that, a very popular person that if they had a tagline would be, let's do it the fun way. The popular sanguine desires to have fun as their primary objective. They tend to be spontaneous and talkative, loud and social. They're the life of the party. They could also be forgetful, disorganized, egotistical, and easily angry. Some examples are Bill Clinton, Kelly Ripa, and Wendy Williams. Then you have your second extroverted personality style, and that is the powerful choleric, and is a born leader, and they're very powerful in their appearance. If they had a tagline, it would be, let's do it my way. The choleric desires to have control as their primary objective. They tend to be strong leaders, decisive, a get-it-done kind of personality that exudes confidence. They can also be bossy and impatient, quick-tempered, and inflexible. Some examples are Dr. Phil and Donald Trump and Judge Judy. Now let's talk about your introverted personality styles. You have the perfect melancholy and the peaceful phlegmatic. The perfect melancholy is a person that strives for perfection. If they had a tagline, it would be, let's do it the right way. The melancholy desires to have order as one of their primary objectives. They tend to be highly intelligent, organized, compassionate, and thoughtful. But they can also be prone to depression, moody. They remember the negatives and self-centered. Some examples are President Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and Beyonce. The peaceful phlegmatic is your 4th and final personality style and your 2nd introverted personality style. If the peaceful phlegmatic would have a tagline, it would be, let's do it the easy way. The phlegmatic desire to have peace as their primary objective. They tend to be loyal, easygoing, consistent, and sympathetic. They can also be uninvolved, unenthusiastic, fearful, and selfish. And some examples are Keanu Reeves, Calvin Coolidge, and Sandy Koufax. Now, I'd like to tell you a bit about myself and why I started teaching and learning about the personalities. I always, throughout my life, I always felt as though I was misunderstood. And that was for most of my life. It seemed to me that people just didn't get me. Oddball, you know, loud, talkative. I thought I was funny. Some people might not have thought so. But people still misunderstood me. They always took me the wrong way. If I said something, they took it the wrong way. And I expected that after a while that people just would not get me. But what I didn't expect is that the people who knew me the most and who loved me the most wouldn't understand me. That was really disheartening to me and devastating to me. I remember I went out to dinner with some coworkers some time ago. It's years ago. And one of them, the coworkers, was my best friend. And I was having a spirited debate with somebody at the table. And at the end of the evening, my best friend and I were going back to the hotel, and we were talking, and I said to her, well, how did you think the night went? What did you think about the person that was sitting at the table? And she was like, oh, you know, he's interesting or whatever, but I thought you were awfully aggressive. And I said, aggressive? Yes, you had your finger pointing in his face, and you were talking, you know, so loud and so aggressive. And I said, well, you know, I'm thinking to myself, and I said out loud, you know, why would you say that? You know, I'm not sure what conversation you were watching, because he and I were just, you know, really in this great dialogue and debate. And he, you know, he was talking as, you know, as forceful as I was. And I didn't see anything wrong with it. I could look at his face and see that he wasn't bothered by it either. And she went on to say, well, that's why some of the people in our close circle didn't like to communicate with you. They didn't like to talk to you because they felt like you were so aggressive and they couldn't get their point across, and, you know, and that you, they were just, you know, uncomfortable debating with me because it just felt too uncomfortable. I was really wounded by that. I went back to my hotel room that evening, and I remember crying all evening long because I thought, wow, the people that don't know me that well and they make an assumption about me when they meet me is one thing. I can handle that. But the people that are closest to me, who love me and who I love, are saying that I'm difficult to get along with, that they can't communicate with me. That was devastating to me. I just didn't understand. I'm like, how is that possible? So I got introduced to the book some years later by my friend and who is a mentor to me, Pastor Devorah Evans. I got introduced to the personalities from a book of the month that she was doing in the mentoring program I was a part of and that she actually facilitated. And when I got introduced to this book, it was called Personality Plus. And I thought to myself, well, this is interesting, because I've always was interested in why people do the things that they do, why people say the things that they say. I was always interested in that. And so because I was interested in it, when the book started to explain my personality and the things that I didn't like about myself, the things that people said about me, I started to see myself differently. I started to see I'm not the only sanguine that's loud. I'm not the only sanguine that's talking a lot. I'm not the only sanguine that, you know, seems to be having the most fun in the world. Some of the negative things that I thought about myself just didn't seem so bad after all. I started to extend grace to myself. And then when I started to read the personality styles of all the other personalities, I started to see them differently. And it was really, really a blessing to me to see people the way I believe God wants us to see them. And that is the way He created them. So that really blessed my heart. It blessed my soul. And I really wanted to learn more about why people behave the way they do. And I decided that I was going to study the personalities, become certified in the personalities, so that not only did I understand what was going on with different personality styles, but that other people could benefit by what I had learned and how it allowed me to extend grace to other people. It allowed me to be able to see people the way God saw them. Because I believe God doesn't see you in your the way you are right now, the mess that you are right now. He sees where he's taking you to. And now I see myself that way, and I see other people that way, and I try not to judge people. And, you know, I try to see them if they're operating their weaknesses. I may say, oh, that person's operating their weaknesses, and this is probably why. You know, my friend Dr. Celeste Owens always says that if you have a five-minute conversation with me, I'm talking to you about the personality. And I can talk about it all day long because I am so blessed by what understanding myself and understanding other people has done for my life and what I know that it's done for other people, because I've had other people say to me, this has really been an eye-opening experience for me. I've learned so much. I've been so blessed by what you're teaching. So I know that it, you know, it helps people to grow and become more like Christ, because, you know, Jesus Christ was all the personality styles. He was all the strengths and none of the weaknesses. And as you strive to be more like him, we will tend to behave more like him, and we'll pull out of our weaknesses and really enhance our strengths. So that's really what personality speaking is all about. It's about helping you to understand the people that you come in contact with every single day, whether it's your loved ones, your coworkers, people you're in ministry with, people you go to school with, people you pass in the grocery store. Try to understand them differently than what you believe they are, why you believe they're acting the way they're acting, because we usually see people through our own personal lens. It's the lens that we see people. We expect people to behave like us, to speak like us, to, you know, do what we do. And that's not what we're called to do. What we're called to do is really serve other people. And it's hard to do that if you already have these preconceived judgments about people. So I'm praying that personality speaking is allowing people to really look at yourself, see what God wants you to do to overcome your weaknesses, see how he's going to use your strengths and your weaknesses for his glory, and see how you could be a blessing to other people. So that's what I'm hoping that you'll get from personality speaking as you listen to the show. Tonight's Ask Karen segment is a segment that is going to allow you to call in at any time throughout the show. You can ask your personality-related questions. When you dial into the number 929-477-1876, press 1 if you have a question for me. I'll be happy to answer your questions tonight about anything at all, and I will give you a personality perspective on that topic. But meanwhile, while I'm waiting for your calls, you can also post on my Facebook page any questions that you might have, and you can send me an email as well. So I'll be checking those things to make sure I'm answering your questions. But meanwhile, what I'd like to do is talk about some topics that will get you thinking about maybe some of the questions you might have. And I've taken some from, most of these are actual, so all of these are actual stories, but I've taken them from the internet or from what's happening right now in the news, and I want to be able to share some of them with you and talk about what personality styles I see in some of the stories, because I see personalities in everything. So one of the things I want to talk about is, it's for me, is about a bank robber. And this is a story I read, and it's a short story, so it said a man wanting to rob a downtown bank in Bank of America walked into the branch and wrote, "This is a stick-up. Put your money." Now, he says, "This is a stick-up. Put all your money, M-U-N-Y, in this bag." And he wrote that on a deposit slip. And he also said stick-up was S-T-I-C-K-K-U-P. So he said, "This is a stick-up. Put all your M-U-N-Y in this bag." And he wrote that on a deposit slip. And while standing in the line, waiting to give his note to the teller, he began to worry that someone had seen him write the note and might call the police before he reached the teller window. So he left the Bank of America and crossed the street to the went to the Wells Fargo Bank. After waiting a few minutes in line, he handed the note to the Wells Fargo teller. She read it and, surmising from his spelling errors that he wasn't the brightest light in the harbor, she told him that she could not accept his pickup note because it was written on a Bank of America deposit slip, and that he would either have to fill out a Wells Fargo deposit slip or go back to Bank of America. Looking somewhat defeated, the man said, okay, and left the Wells Fargo Bank. Then the teller called the police, who arrested the man a few minutes later. He was waiting in line back at the Bank of America Bank. I laughed till I cried when I saw this. And I laughed so hard because I am a sanguine, you guys. And sanguines know we can be very flighty. I mean, we'll say something and later think, why did I say that? That was not the brightest thing in the world to say. And we do very forgetful things and things that we just really didn't think through. And this reminded me of a sanguine operating in their weaknesses. So if I have sanguines on a call and you send it by that, don't, because I'm a sanguine as well. And I could see myself doing that very thing. I'd like to hear your comments about that story and any other comments you want to make. So make sure you're calling into the show at 929-477-1876 and press 1 for your question or your comment. But also, I have another, what I consider a sanguine-like story. And I think I mentioned something like this the last time I did an Ask Karen segment. But there was, I'm reading this from the headlines, and it was in a parent's magazine, and the title was, You Never Forget Your Child in the Car, Right? And it said, it was day 3 of a new routine for the Edwards family. Jody, a professor and counselor at a private university in Cincinnati, had spent the summer of 2008 working 2 days a week and taking care of her 2 children. Her then 3-year-old son and her 11-month-old daughter, Jenna. On the days Edwards worked, both children stayed with the babysitter near the office. Now, it was August and classes were beginning for Edwards, and preschool was starting for her son. Jenna would be with her babysitter Monday through Friday. I could walk over and see Jenna, nurse her, and bring her back to my office when I wasn't teaching, Edwards says. On Wednesday, August the 20th, she drove her minivan to her son's Montessori school and took both children inside. He was really worried about being in the new building, so we went in and stayed with him for 20 minutes, playing and helping him feel comfortable, she recalls. That was the last time the 3 of them ever played together. Edwards brought Jenna back to the van and strapped her into her rear-facing car seat. I was talking and singing to her, she recalls. 5 minutes into the drive, Jenna started to sing in this little voice and she uses when she's sleepy. I had a child safety mirror, and when I looked in it, I could see that she was going to fall asleep. Edwards thought about how much she wanted Jenna to stay asleep and finish her morning nap once she got to the babysitter's. In a very detailed way, I visualized getting there, walking around to the back seat door, unbuckling her straps, getting her out very gingerly, and covering her ears so the babysitter's door wouldn't wake her. I pictured myself saying to the babysitter, Jenna's sleeping, can I lay her in the crib? Toward the babysitter, but instead of driving past her workplace and traveling another half a block to the sitter's house on the next street, she pulled into her office parking lot. I parked my car, she recalls. My bags were in the front seat. I walked around and got them out and went into work, leaving Jenna in the car on a 92-degree weather for the next 7 hours. Wow. Wow, that's wild. So I know that I have a caller on the air, and I'm going to try to get her. I believe Tia is on the line. So, Tia, I'm going to see if I can get you in here.
Yeah, that's me. So you know we are so unlucky. Hey, oh, you're able to get in.
Yeah.
Okay.
So how are you, Tia?
I am doing fine. I was so cracked up off of that bank robber story. I was like, oh, I got to get in and I got to talk on this one right here. You know I am a sanguine, and I do be saying that. I thought I was the only person that said, well, why did I say that? I shouldn't have said nothing like that. That was so crazy of me. But I heard you speaking on the fact that people didn't understand you, and that is
right.
So true. They don't understand us sanguines, but you know what? We still continue to go on and be ourselves, and we don't even worry about what they'd be thinking. And I was like, something's wrong with me, for real. But then again, no, I said, that's just me, and I'm still going to be me regardless. So that's just how I carried it.
Amen. And you know what? And I can tell you that, Tia, for me, I know I've said a lot of things that, you know, I look back and go, oh, my Lord, did I say that? Or right after somebody
yes.
made a comment, I didn't even hear the conversation that the person's talking to me and a group of people, and I missed the whole conversation. And then I turn around and say just what the person just said.
Yes, exactly. And they're looking at me like, well, didn't I just say that? And I'm like, no, but that's just us. We sang, which, you know, that's the weakness of it, you know. But then I had to really realize now that I have really gotten with you, Dr. Ward, because you have brought out so much in me with this sanguine thing, you know, and I'm forever grateful. But at the same token, just understanding yourself really helped you to understand others too, you know, and it's just so key with, you know, knowing this about each personality. I mean, even down to my children with the phlegmatic and the melancholy with my husband, and then the choleric. I have another child that's a choleric too. So all of it, you know, blends together, and it really helps me to understand. But back to the sanguine piece, me being the sanguine and this the weaknesses, you know, I had to really get to the point of just, you know, accepting it, you know, and dealing with it, because I myself know that I tend to be unorganized, you know, and that's one of the weaknesses, and, you know, be all over the place, you know. I'm like, okay, Tia, you got to calm down. I really be talking about myself. Look, Tia, you got to calm down, girl. Yes, I do.
But
I don't know about any other sanguine.
And it's funny, though, Tia, I mean, although, and most sanguines I know, if you're a primary sanguine especially, you are all over the place. Not
yes.
only that, but you are very disorganized. I mean, I'm sitting
yes.
in my office right now. If I took a picture of my office, you would all probably, thank God, what I say all the time, and I said this earlier today, thank God I'm not using my webcam to do this radio show, because if people saw, first of all, the way I look most of the time, but if they saw my office, they were like, oh, my Lord.
Yes.
But
one
of the things I've realized, though, about being disorganized is that there's certain things that will put you in a position to be more organized.
It
you know
does.
What I mean? Like,
it's a, yeah,
like
it does.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, because you know you have to be on point. You have to have this right here. I know where this is at. But the thing about it, though, Karen, although we are unorganized, we still know what everything is. I don't really be walking around with my head chopped off. I know deep down inside that I have some unorganization with me, but I still have a sense. Like you said, you have the sense that, okay, I have to become more organized. I mean, does that sound, I know that sounds like it's a contradictory, but I don't look at it as that. I don't know. I guess you got to be a sanguine to understand it. So.
Well, I used to work in an office, and everybody on, there were 8 cubes in my row, and 4 facing the other 4. And I had the worst desk and office. Everybody else's desk and office was so immaculate. And my desk used to be a joke. They used to laugh at my desk and talk about me all the time. And but I knew where everything was. And if anybody moved
yep.
something, I could tell you something was moved.
Yep.
And I know
exactly.
that's crazy, but that's,
yep.
but that's the way
it is.
Before I let you go, Tia, I want to ask you a question, because I know that you were being screened at the time, but I read a story, and I want to know if you had any kind of experiences similar to this, not exactly like this, but I read a story while you were in the screening room that talked about a lady who was a professor, and was really, you know, school time was starting up again, and she was really getting in high gear to go to work and everything. And she had a small child, a 10-month-old baby, and she had another younger child. I think the child was 3 years old. And she took the oldest one to school, took the baby into the school with the oldest one, spent some time with him, put the baby in the car seat, was singing and talking to the baby. The baby started to fall asleep, and then she said she could visualize herself driving the baby to the daycare, you know, getting out the car, unstrapping the baby, gingerly taking her out, taking her into the building, to the daycare provider, and going to work. Well, on her way to work, I guess her mind was elsewhere, and she ended up going straight to work on a 92-degree day and left the baby in the car.
Wow, that's amazing.
Right, but what I didn't say at the end of that story is the baby did die because the baby was left in the car for 7 hours in 92-degree weather. But can you remember a time when you did something like that that was kind of flighty and you, you know, maybe not leave your baby in the car, but something like that?
Well, no, I actually did that, unfortunately. I did, and I was actually in Virginia, and we all got out the car. This is when my youngest son was young. He may have been, he was in his car seat. I want to say he was like maybe 1. He was like 1. And we all got out the car. He was on my side. He was on my side of behind me, and we went in the 7-Eleven, and he was just screaming to the top of his head. I mean, I can say it now. He was screaming to the top of his head, and my husband had got out the car, the kids had got out the car, and we're going to get Slurpees and everything, and I ain't think nothing about it. Forgot all about my baby, and because I'm thinking he's in the back seat, and someone else got him out. But I am the mom. You know what I'm saying? I should have known, like, my child is in the car. And when I got back, I felt so bad. I was like, this could have been really bad. And this time, I don't think it was real cold out, but it wasn't hot either. But he was screaming, and I felt so bad. So, yes, you know, I don't have a problem with sharing that. So, yeah, I can relate to what that lady said. And it's really sad. I'm glad that things didn't, you know, turn out from a really a bad perspective. I'm just glad that he, you know, ended up being okay. But, yeah, that's the flighty part of the sanguine.
Well, thank you, Tia, for commenting. I'm so excited that you were able to do that, and that you're able to share your sanguineness with the audience, because I thought I was the only person that would do stuff like leave your kid in the car or, or forget to take your child to daycare and be on your way to work.
Yeah.
So it happens.
And so, and so when I see the stories, I'm like, okay, I know people going to look at me like I'm crazy, like the lady that left the child in the car. It was kind of recent. I want to say a couple of months back. And I really felt for her. I was in the house crying and my husband looking at me, and I was praying for the lady and everything. I was like, she didn't mean to do it. She didn't mean. I know. Be quiet. Just be quiet. But that's how I felt. I felt like that. I felt for her. So I just prayed for her. So now I know you got the audience out there probably saying, yeah, she tripping. I would have never done that with my child, blah, blah, blah. Okay, that's easier said than done.
You're not a sanguine.
Let me just say that.
I just want to clarify something before I let you go, that I am not technically a doctor, but for some reason that word is out there. And my friend texted me and said, Dr. Ward, I love it. I believe that was a prophetic word. She said, bless his holy name. Girl, goodbye.
I know.
I'm going to be like,
girl.
What's the guy on the radio name? Was it Lonnie Hunter? Get off my phone.
Okay. Bye, Dr. Curran. See you later, Dr.
Right,
Curran Ward.
Thank you, Tia.
You're welcome.
Now, my sister's having some technical difficulties, so I'm going on the line, and the last 4 digits of the line is 0112, so I'm not sure who I'm talking to yet, so let me see who this is. Hi, welcome to Personality Speaking. Your last 4 digits is 0112. Okay. Can you hear me? If you can hear me, okay. All right, well, I'm going to put you back on mute then, and if you want to talk, press 1 again. Okay. I guess that was an error. Maybe somebody pressed 1 just to get on the line. But I love that. So I want to share another story. And this is a story about something that I'm doing right now. How many of you have heard about extreme couponing, or, you know, or being in a position where people spend a lot of time in their couponing efforts? I was reading something on couponing, and it says, would you believe it's possible to save more than 90% on your grocery bills? Many people would consider extreme, but while most of us just glance remorsefully at the receipts from the grocery store, accepting that the total came out so high yet again, there are some who leave the supermarket with a skip in their step and a lot more money in their wallet. The secret to this success is coupons. Well, coupons, a little bit of planning and extra storage space, requires a little bit of planning and extra storage space. That's because buying in bulk usually goes hand in hand with extreme coupon use. So you can stock up when deals align to make products super cheap. It don't go on sale every day, after all. You have to get products while the getting's good. So if you feel like saving some cash and you have some space in your garage or an extra large pantry, plus some free time for the effort, then here are some extreme coupon tips that normal shoppers can get on board with. And that's what the article said. I'm not going to give you the tips. But I brought that up because I have been involved in extreme couponing, and I'm excited about that. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that with my guest. I do have, right now I have a caller. I'm going to take the caller and see if this caller wants to comment right now, and then I'm going to go back to the couponing story. So hold on a second, you guys. This number ends in the last four digits of 6492. Welcome to Personality Speaking.
Hi, Karen. This is Celeste.
Hey, Celeste.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing great. I was just calling to comment on the couponing, that's all.
So what do you think, Celeste? Because one of the things that the reason why I brought that story up, because couponing can be very competitive. And what personality is very competitive? Choleric.
Right.
Very competitive. So this couponing thing can be huge for a lot of people. Matter of fact, I am participating in what I consider extreme couponing with my brother, who is so competitive. And he's also super choleric, okay? But
right.
we have been couponing. He started probably in February, and he wanted to kind of get his hands around it to see, you know, how it would work. And then he started to teach the rest of the family. But I really got, you know, excited about it because I've always watched the show Extreme Couponing. Have you watched that show before?
I've seen that show before, and it is extreme. The reason I think it's so extreme, I mean, the reason I see it as very extreme is because the people have made a full-time job out of couponing. Like, they take hours to cut coupons out at the beginning of the week, and then they go into the grocery store, and it's like half a day, literally. They're like 5 or 6 hours in that store. Oh my God.
Right.
So it's incredible. But they are saving.
Yeah, I've seen them go from day to night, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And mm-hmm. But the interesting thing is when my brother and I had gone couponing, and I went without him for the first time, and I got a much better deal than he did, and I posted it on our private Facebook page, because we have a family Facebook page for couponing for anybody who wants to know what we're doing and how we're doing it. And so mm-hmm. I posted it. He said, so I see, you know, you not only are you trying to beat the master, but then you're going to post it on Facebook. I said, well, first of all, it's in our private page. So I'm not telling the whole world, but I also said that I'm no Kirk Wilson, but I am a good protege. And but
mm-hmm.
he's so super competitive, but people, it's not just him. I look at the people that in PG County, they said they have some of the strongest, this is a heavy area for couponing. So a lot of times, the moment we decide that there's a special and we cut the coupons and we get to the store, a lot of the items are already gone because these people are serious about couponing.
Oh.
Very serious. But you know who else would be good at couponing, Celeste?
Who?
Melancholies. Melan- would call
you
me because
what?
They're good friends.
Why would you say, Malik, I'd like to save money?
Well, like to save money, but it also requires planning. And,
okay.
You know, and melancholy would do the chart. Like, I've seen, even on Extreme Couponing, haven't you seen some of the people have binders?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And they'll have spreadsheets, and they know when the circulars come out, and they know when how often things come on sale, and they know how to, you know, prepare themselves for it. I mean, they're really organized.
Yes, true. That's true. You know what? When you first told me that you were couponing, I thought, oh, that sounds great. That might be something I will do. You know, I used to coupon, and then I got a husband, so I stopped. So, and then every time I say that, he hates me. He's like, well, how would you do that? Like, I used to braid hair. I braided hair all the way through college, all the way through graduate school, you know, undergrad, graduate school. The minute I got married, I stopped braiding. And so the minute I got married, I stopped cutting out coupons. I know
that.
I can still be trying to save us some money. But when you told me about coupon, I was like, oh, you know what, man, that sounds great. I would love to save us some money, you know, food and household items. But what turned me off was when you said that some of the cashiers, you know, give you a hard time. And I'm not into rejection. I don't know if that's just melancholy or that's just me. But then I was like,
no,
I don't know.
Yeah, that's melancholy. Well, it's probably your melancholy and pragmatic. It's probably
right.
both because the melancholy, the melancholies don't like rejection, but the phlegmatic is not confrontational. So the phlegmatic will be like, okay, forget it. You don't want to give me, but, you know, allow me to use 2 coupons and fine.
Right. I'm not going to, then I don't want to do it. Right. And so when you told me that part, I was like, oh, never mind.
and for my personality style, we get angry. You know, we get angry when we realize that, you know, you're just being, what I think is like you're being petty about if I can use 2 versus 4 coupons and that kind of thing. So, and as both my personality styles, the sanguine will get angry and get over it. The caller will get mad and hold a grudge and won't want to come back into the store again.
right. Ready to write a letter.
But I am. You saw my stash. I'm doing pretty good, right?
Oh yeah, you are. Karen is doing excellent. I can't believe it. She sent me a little video of all of her stockpile, and it's incredible. So it is very tempting, very tempting. I would just have to leave our county and go somewhere else where I wouldn't get as much hassle. But I would be happy to do it then.
Okay. We're going to have to do it. My brother's willing to do classes for free for a little while, but after a while, he's going to drop that whole idea.
Right. Well, you all are doing a great job.
And I also think that, too, as I look at the couponing efforts, you know, each personality even looks at that couponing thing. Like, sanguine, it's got to be fun for me. So the part for me as a sanguine is the interacting with the people, and sanguines tend to be charming, so we can really charm people not to give us a hard way to go. So that's really good.
Mm-hmm.
And the choleric, my brother, he can figure those numbers out in his head. He understands exactly what's the best deal and how to get those deals, and he's very dogmatic about getting out there and getting it done and making it happen. So that's really good for the collar. The melancholy, the planners and organizers, they will know when the sales are coming. They will let people know, you know, what to do and how to get the best out of their money. And the phlegmatic will just enjoy the fruits of the labor of everyone else.
Right, you nailed it. That's exactly it.
But also, people like phlegmatics, so they tend to be helpful towards a phlegmatic. So if you're a phlegmatic couponer, you probably got all the cashiers loving you and calling you and letting you know when the sales are there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's really interesting.
Fun.
Thank you, Celeste.
You're welcome. Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. Okay, so I have another caller on the line. The last 4 is 08. 68. Hello. Welcome to Personality
Hi, Karen. It's Cheryl.
Hey, Cheryl.
Can you hear me?
Hi. I can hear you.
Okay, good. So, just my comment is not about couponing, but since you just finished that subject, I want to comment on it because I saw your post on Facebook several weeks ago. I think I saw something where a comment about you saving up to 70%. Does that seem about right?
Yeah, but yesterday I saved 103%.
Oh, that's crazy. Well, you had me at 70%. You had me at 70%, and it was so tempting because I love saving money, and I'm a melancholy. I'm a melancholy phlegmatic.
Uh-huh.
Right? And I love saving money, too, and I am very organized, but I've never tried to take that challenge to coupon because I've felt so overwhelmed with everything else I've been managing, you know, in my life. But now that I'm retired, you know, I am considering couponing again. I know that I'm going to get it very organized, and I'll have alarms and all that stuff, and color coded spreadsheets and alarms set on my phone. But the problem where I get challenged is, you know, the traffic in the stores or bad attitudes from the people providing the customer service. You know, I'm not necessarily confrontational, but then, you know, if I feel like the attitudes are just unnecessarily rude, then I get self-righteous, you know, and, you know, get a little defensive, and I don't know. So I'm not sure if I'm ready for it because of that. I think I have a little more time. I don't know, but thanks for encouraging me. I'll keep thinking about it. And what I love about the whole person,
Well, I was gonna say before you move on, as far as the couponing is concerned, see, you have the same personality style. I think you're more phlegmatic melancholy. Even though I know recently you tested melancholy phlegmatic, but Dr. Celeste, who just was on the line before you, you have the same personality style that she has. And that's what she was saying, pretty much the same thing as you, is I don't know if I want to deal with the people being rude or, you know, acting as if it's a big deal. And because you guys are non-confrontational, and then you don't like the rejection of people telling you no, you can't do that. Because we have gone to literally different Safeway stores and getting different responses from different people. You have one manager go, oh, yeah, sure, you can use them. And the next one, wow, we only let you use two. Or the next person, oh, no, you can't use those here. You know, it's just depending on what store you go to, you can get a different response for the same chain. So that's really interesting in itself, you know. But I know that, you know, certain personalities, you know, like my personality is a sanguine choleric, we'll just deal with it and keep it moving, you know. But melancholies and phlegmatics are like, oh, Lord, have mercy.
Yeah, that's true. It gets very personal for me. But the reason I'm calling is because I had an experience in a church environment the other day that just plucked my nerves so bad. And I want to talk to you about it because I want your insight on how to, you know, assess myself as, you know, properly and accurately, as well as consider the person who I felt offended by. Because I believe that person felt well, you know, I know that person meant well. And so the story is, you know, we were in a worship environment, and the worship was just very, very sweet. And it was a room full of about 30 women, and we were just caught up in a beautiful worship experience. And the spirit of gratitude just overwhelmed my heart. So I went to the altar. There were already a couple of women at the altar. I went to the altar, and I knelt down, and I prayed, and, you know, I was just speaking words of gratitude, not loud, you know, for the whole room to hear, but from me to the Lord, and I started crying, not very loudly, but I was crying, and then I eventually started speaking in tongues quietly, but I was so aware why I was at the altar, and I knew that I was at a place of gratitude and just thankfulness to the Lord, and it was just so beautiful, and, you know, all is well in my life, and I have no complaints about anything, and I was just grateful. You know, I felt like the grateful one, you know, the story of the 10 lepers who were separated, you know, from the families in their communities, and Jesus healed them, and one came back and fell at Jesus' feet and thanked him. I felt like that grateful one. But then a woman whom I don't know very well, I've only been you know, encountering her for the last 4 weeks at this church event that we've been attending. And she has been appointed to be the prayer lead for this upcoming conference that we're organizing. Well, in her zeal, you know, as a prayer person and a prayer leader, you know, she came to the altar, she knelt by me, and she grabbed me around my shoulders and started rocking me and started praying for me out loud, and you know, well, probably not loud enough for everyone to hear, but just praying for me and saying, Lord, help her, you know what she needs, you know, give her the strength and yada, 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 yada. And she was praying it in my ear, and was she, her words were louder than my words, you know, for me, and I just... And she was praying something that I was not consistent with what I knew my heart was feeling. And so I felt like her prayer was off and that she had it all wrong. I believe that because she saw me at the altar weeping, or just because I was at the altar, period, she perhaps maybe assumed that I was hurting or needed something or troubled. And she moved in, and I felt like, you know, she was off and she was wrong. Plus, I just didn't want her touching me, you know, and I didn't want her touching me. I didn't want her praying in my ear. You know, it quenched my spirit. It just quenched my spirit so quickly. And my body language didn't tense up. I didn't want to send any signals to her to suggest that I didn't want her touching me, you know, but I could tell, you know, that I started to settle down and you know, I was just upset. I was mad. I was angry that she moved in on my personal space like that, and I didn't want her touching me. I'm the kind of person that, you know, don't like to be touched when I'm having an experience with the Lord, you know, in that kind of environment. And I don't get, you know, disorderly or anything like that, but I need that sacred. That's my sacred space. And I did understand that she was moving from a place of compassion or whatever. She's been newly appointed in this position as the prayer lead person. So I think she was operating in the role that she believes she needs to be operating in and doing the duties that she believes a prayer person needs to do. And I was bothered by that. So I just wanted, you know, and I didn't treat her any differently afterwards. But I want... And I even thought that before the meeting was over, later after the meeting, that I would have a private conversation with her just to let her know how I felt, not, you know, in a confrontational way, but just to gingerly let her know that I'm the kind of person that don't require you to come up and touch me, or, you know, I don't need that or whatever. But I decided to let it go. But I believe it's going to happen again. And then we have the big retreat that's coming up in May, and I just want, you know, I want to be prepared. I want as a body of you know, servants, you know, who will be serving at this particular conference, I want us to get equipped and prepared on how to move, you know, in wisdom, you know, in that kind of environment. And so I want to know from you what you think about my feelings in my experience, and how would you advise me to handle that going forward?
Well, and I'm glad that you called about that, because I can really hear your heart about the whole situation. And I realized that what people don't realize about melancholies is, first of all, they don't like people invading their private space. And I always say that if you stretch your arms straight out and you put your palm up, and that space from your palm to that person's shoulder should not be invaded. Back away, because they don't want you in their space like that, and they don't want you that close to them, because it is very private and personal to them. And it's so funny, because I had a girlfriend last week. We were at the store, and she got to the store before I did. Well, actually, I was right across the street, and I got to the store to meet up with her. She was already talking to some lady from Comcast. And the lady had gotten all in her personal space, and I could tell when I walked in, and lady came in, she said, oh, you with her? And I said, yeah. So she said, oh, give me a hug. And she hugged me. Now, I'm a hugger, so that didn't bother me. So when we got ready to walk off, I said to my girlfriend, did she hug you? She said, oh, no. And she's melancholy, too. And she was like, girl, you know I don't let people in my personal space. So I thought that was funny. So that was part of the problem, is the fact that melancholies don't like people in their personal space, and they don't like people to, you know, infringe upon that space. So that's part of it. The other thing is that one of the things when I was going through when I was going through counseling, grief counseling, when I lost my mother several years ago, I went through grief counseling. And part of the grief counseling process was when somebody started to cry, don't touch them. And the reason why they said don't touch them unless you ask for permission before you do that, don't touch them, because what it does is, like you said about quenching the spirit, it prevents the person from having a total experience. So if I need to get something out, if I'm talking and I need to get something out, you can't interrupt me. If I am crying and I'm trying to get something out, you can't do that either. You can't, touch me while I'm crying without my permission, because it prevents me from having the total experience I need to have or being able to release whatever it is in me. And so I believe that the person, when they touched you and they started talking in your ear, and especially did not line up with what you were experiencing with your, you know, in that moment, that moment you were communing with God, it wasn't even lining up with that. That's when you said it quenched your spirit. And so maybe what I think you need to do as, you know, a person in this ministry is maybe say, we need to have some guidelines that when anybody's at the altar and they're praying and they're praying in the spirit, or they're crying or they're crying out to God, don't touch them unless you ask them, you know, can I touch you or can I pray for you? Don't do it, because it does do that. It causes you to, you know, suck those feelings back up and not be able to continue that relationship, and it distracts you from what you're trying to get accomplished. So it's not unheard of that, and the fact that you didn't want to say anything after the fact is a phlegmatic personality trait. Phlegmatics are non-confrontational, and you didn't want to hurt her feelings. And also, melancholies are compassionate, so they don't want to hurt your feelings either. But maybe you should address it in a form that you're not talking about the individual, but talking about the process and how the process needs to be addressed.
Right. Okay.
Does that answer your question?
It definitely answered my question. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Thank you so much, Cheryl, for calling in.
Okay.
Take care. All right.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye. Okay, so now I have a question. Last four digits is 5096. Welcome to Personality Speaking.
Get excited.
How are you, Lisa?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you, Karen?
I'm great. Thank you for calling in.
Oh, yes. It's so funny because I could definitely, I have to go back to the couponing, because for years and years my husband said, we need to spend money, we need a coupon. I mean, every Sunday I would get the coupon. I'd be so excited. I got even little coupons because I went to the dollar store. You know, you can get the little things. I was like, oh, I'm going to be organized. I sit down, I cut the coupons off, but then I never take them to the grocery store. And it's like, then I was like, okay, let me try and put them on the refrigerator. Maybe I'll remember that. Is this something I've never gone and taken them in there?
Well, let me tell you something, my sister. I'm your sister in Christ. I'm telling you, for years, I used to watch Extreme Couponing. I would get so excited about it. I got the, the big cutter where you can cut, the big one?
Yeah.
It has a big arm, and you can cut the, trim the paper and stuff. I got one of those. I got the organizer so I could organize them. And every time I went in the grocery store, I would leave it at home or I would leave it in the car, and I wouldn't remember it until I was paying for my groceries.
Yes, that is so me. And I'm like, well, what is that about?
That's the sanguine. That's that sanguine thing. That's what it's about.
Well, I'm definitely looking forward to diving into a little bit more about my sanguineness.
Girl, that sanguine is no joke. I love it. The sanguine is no joke. But, yeah, that's what it is. It's the sanguineness. And I can tell you that my brother getting involved in it and really being excited about it, and then him trying to show me how easy it is. Now, he does a lot of the hard work, which is finding the deals. I do a lot of the footwork. I go with him. you know, we get all the product, we go to the register, we pay for it, we do all the stuff together. But if he didn't do that part where he's really looking for the deals, I could tell you I probably, yeah. And then once I start, because I'm secondary choleric, once I started really seeing how I was getting these deals, and I'm walking out the store where they're giving me money back, or they're, you know, or my sales, my savings is so high, 95% and 98%. Now I want, my husband wanted to go to the store to get something. I said, do you have a coupon? I have a coupon for that. Let me, don't buy anything
right.
without a coupon. So
right,
now
I'm
really so serious about it. So I think it's going to take something or someone taking you under their wing, and then you getting excited about it in order for you to really, you know, move forward and get it done.
I agree, 100%. I agree.
Well, thank you.
But you know what? Okay, one quick thing. Well, I know now, though, Karen, like at Food Line, this is so nice, and you can go in and, like, you scan your card and it prints out some coupons. But of course, it's not that many, but I think it's based on what you normally buy. So I can at least take baby steps until I get there, right?
Exactly. And that's what you have to do. You have to take baby steps. And that's, and you can go into a lot of the coupon sites, and they have, like, tutorials for new people. And so it helps you to start looking at how you can save money even without using the coupons. You can save money just by knowing what's really a sale and what's not a sale. And so you start to learn that way, and then you say, okay, well, I'm going to focus on one item, and I want to make sure when I go in the store, I'm getting that for a discount. And then you start getting more excited about getting it done. But, you know, find somebody you can get under their wing, and they'll take you under and trying to show you the ropes, because it is the most fun I've ever had.
All right, and I definitely love to have fun, don't we?
Right. But thank you so much for calling in.
Okay, thank you.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So I'm going to take a call, and the last four digits is 0112. Welcome to Personality Speaking. Your last four is 0112. Okay. So I think that was a mistake. And let's see, do we have anybody else that wants to... So we're ending the hour of the show. I want to see if I have any comments here on my Facebook page before I start this. Dr. Celeste, such a fun show. Lisa has me cracking up about not taking her coupons back into the store. That, Celeste, I can't tell you how many times I've done that. I'll have the coupons in my purse and forget to turn the coupons in. So really going with somebody who is enjoying the whole couponing process would really make a difference in you being successful and not walking in and then walking right back out without the coupons in hand. So I think that's funny. I wanted to tell another little quick story about a phlegmatic, what I think is a phlegmatic burglar. It says a sleepy burglar. A sleepy burglar who broke into a Sarasota area home was busted after he was caught napping on a bed inside. Authorities said Dion Davis, 29, faces a burglary of an unoccupied dwelling charge following his arrest on Monday. A sleepy burglar who broke into the Florida home was busted after he was caught in the bed, and Davis is being held for $10,000 bond on Wednesday, jail records showed. It was unknown whether he has an attorney. According to the sheriff's office, a cleaning woman called the deputies after she found Davis sleeping inside the home on Monday morning. Davis was passed out on the bed. A bag full of stolen jewelry was sitting next to him. And the deputies took photos of Davis before waking him up and taking him into custody. So I phlegmatic right away when I saw that, because it would take a phlegmatic if they were involved in any crime whatsoever, because I think phlegmatics are only involved in crimes where they're tagging along with somebody who's really committing the crime. But if they were going to be involved with a crime, it would be one that would cause them to fall asleep on the job. So I thought that was a pretty funny story. I am so excited about tonight's show. I think that There's so many people who had questions and comments about it. I was glad that you guys were able to call in. It looks like I may have another call. Let me see if this is a call here before I end the show. I'm looking at last four digits is 0034. Welcome to Personality Speaking.
Hi, Karen.
Welcome to Personality
Speaking.
I'm fine. Who's this?
This is Linda Dixon. How are you doing this evening?
Hi, Linda. Welcome to Personality Speaking.
Thank you so much. The last caller, I really appreciated her. And I can understand that I'm a hugger, but when I'm having my moment with Jesus, I don't like anybody in my space either.
Right.
And when I see that someone is having their moment, I don't like for people to come up. And I call this grieving the Holy Spirit because they'll want to hand them tissue or something like that. And when I see that happening, I have a tendency to put my hand out to stop them because I recognize sometimes people just have to empty.
Right.
You have to get through the moment and then hug me afterwards. But, you know, I totally relate. And, again, I'm a hugger, but, you know, I still have my arms distance moments. And when I'm having a time with Jesus, I want you to come. And I've had people to come and start to pray in my ear as well, and it has nothing to do with what's going on with me at the moment, you know.
And I really believe people want to help you. But, you know, they really need to understand that it may not be the appropriate time to do so. And it may not be, like she was saying, it wasn't lined up with what she was, was feeling at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And you've had that happen to you?
Yes, I have. I think people really aren't as insightful. They don't discern everything that they think. I'm reminded of Eli when he saw Hannah praying. And he thought she was drunk.
Oh, yeah.
And she said, no, you know, I'm not. I'm heavy-hearted. You know, I've prayed. And then he said, whatever it is you pray for, be it unto you. I pray that the Lord will give it to you.
Right.
And even at that point, her attitude had to stay correct because she knew where she was, regardless as to what the other person was thinking, and even they're approaching her.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much for calling in and saying that. For some reason, my switchboard has disappeared. I can't see a thing. So I can't even, I don't know how to close you out.
Okay, well, I can keep playing it up.
Amen, amen. Okay, thank you so much. You can just mute if you want to stay on the line and listen in, because for some reason I can't see my switchboard at all, so I'm not even sure how, you know, I can't mute you. So if you could just mute your phone out, that would be great. But thank you so much, Linda, for calling in. So this is the end of Personality Speaking. I am so thankful that you all called in and you had your questions ready. We do this once a month, every first Thursday of the month, we have the Ask Karen segment. If you are interested in knowing about your personality style, you can purchase your personality assessment for only $5 plus shipping and handling by logging on to my website, www.beyond2llc.com. And you can also sign up to my mailing list if you want to know more about personality speaking and you want to get weekly reminders about the show, so you can log on to my website and sign up to my mailing list. And when you purchase a personality assessment, you get a free 15-minute consultation to go over your results. And that's been beneficial to a lot of people after they've taken the assessment. I want to thank you all for joining me for this segment of Personality Speaking. Personality Speaking airs every Thursday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our next live show is April the 9th, and that show is entitled Financing Your Personality with Avia Cumberbatch. Please log on again to my website, www.beyond2.com. For future information about the show and about what I'm doing going forward, I will be working on later on in the year a marriage conference. So if you want to learn about that, you can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/personalityspeaking. It's designed to help you reconcile your relationship one personality at a time. Thank you and good night.